Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to a new episode of Journey Through Hell with Mental Health Conditions. Remember that we are on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And as always, we ask you to help us raise awareness to remove the stigma about mental illness. We never know if someone close to us may be suffering from some mental health conditions, such as depression, anxiety, insomnia, etc. And remember that if someone would like to participate in one of the episodes and share their experiences, they can do it by getting in touch with me. My email is carcori, carcori at pm.me. And well, let's start this new episode today with our special guest, Carla Urdapilleta, who is a triathlete, winner of many prizes in national and international competitions in swimming and other sports like bicycling, right? I don't know. Correct me, Carla, if I'm wrong. In addition to being an educator and a tireless mother and worker and many things that she does. Carla, welcome to the podcast and thank you very much for being with us. I'm sure this is going to be a very constructive conversation for everyone listening to and watching this program. Carla, what else can you tell us about you?
Well, Carlos, first of all, thank you. Thanks for the invitation. I am very glad to be here in your program. Thanks for my well for recommending that I come here to this program. I don't know, maybe sometimes it's difficult to speak about ourselves, and it's because we are not used to speaking of ourselves, like the good things. We also we like sharing the bad stuff. So, speaking maybe about the good things. I am Carla Urdapilleta. I am 50 years old. I started doing exercise like 10 years ago. I was a swimmer before COVID, and after COVID, I decided to change to triathlon because the matches of swimming competitions were suspended, but the triathlon matches were not. So I decided to change to the triathlon because I thought that it was more fun. And I am a very competitive person. I like to give my best in the matches, and I like to measure myself. But I think, Carlos, that it is the most important thing about the sports is that you have to enjoy every one of the trainings. And when you get to the competition, you have to enjoy it as much as you did the way that you spent. No, it's not only to go and get a medal, but it's to enjoy all the steps of the way that took you to that trophy or to that medal. Because otherwise, you spend your time only thinking about the reward and forgetting about what you did to get that reward. So I think that is a very important thing about being a sports person, and being aware of that.
And Carla, how did you start getting involved so much with sports? This is a podcast where we share our conditions with or issues with mental health and whatever happens to us. In that regard, what happened to you in terms of that led you to practice sports so much?
Okay, well, I have to confess to you and your auditory that it all started with the wrong foot. Okay, when I was like 10 or 12 years old, I started suffering from overweight. We used to live in the States, in California, and when we lived there, I gained, I don't know, like, I don't know how many pounds, but like 10 kilos or 15 kilos in a person that is short. I was a small kid. It was very traumatizing, but it wasn't until we got to Mexico again, because we lived 2 years in the States, and when we got here back again, it was when the bullying started, because in our country we are very used to the bullying. And
You were bullied here in Mexico.
In Mexico,
Okay.
Yes, in the US there was high respect. You don't get to be bullied at any age. And when I got here to Mexico, I started getting very, very bullied, and I started doing exercise like crazy. When I was like 12, 11, I remember that I put on a raincoat of all made of plastic, and I went jogging to the street where I lived. And I started doing a lot of exercise and having these big disorders, disorders in my form of eating. I used to or stop eating a lot, or stop eating or and starve to death, or eat like tons of food and then do. I didn't throw up, but what I did was hours and hours and hours of exercise. So this is called, like, think like it's like bigorexic or something like that.
Yeah.
And
Anorexia.
In that type, in that time, there wasn't this, well, at least in Mexico, there wasn't any type of help, or they didn't realized that I was going to through a problem. So I started doing like a lot of things, and I started swimming, hours of training of taekwondo, hours of training of athleticism, and I started becoming a good athlete, but not because I wanted that. It was because the objective was another one. The objective was to lose all the weight.
Yeah.
And this
Yeah.
continued.
So that was a mental condition that you had to deal with, and you were obsessed with losing weight.
Yes. My mom was always working because she was a single parent. So, well, maybe she didn't realize that I was going through this hell. I just went, well, she left me in the school at 7 a.m. in the morning, and then she picked me up in my grandmother's house at 7 or 8 in the afternoon. So she didn't realize that I was going through this hell. I just took all my stuff in my bag and my tennis shoes and everything, and I did all the exercise I could, but it wasn't because I was enjoying it. It was because I wanted to be fit and I wanted to be skinny.
Do you think you were depressed at that age when you were 11, 12, because of the bullying and And being obsessed with losing weight.
Yes, very obsessed. And my parents just got divorced. So, yes, it was a
But
lot
you
of
were
things
depressed.
going on.
You were depressed at that early age.
Yes. Yes, and I think that like a steam pot, the exercise was the steam being liberated, but not as greatly, no?
No,
It was
I'm asking this because when you get depressed for any reason, depression comes in many ways. Obsession with losing weight at 11 or 12 years old. It doesn't matter if you are a girl, a boy. It doesn't matter if you are rich or poor. It hits you. And how did you find the weight and the energy, the strength to work out so much if you were depressed?
I think that it was a kind of depression, like the other way around. Sometimes we have we are sometimes you see people who are depressed and that they are in the bed, no, all day long. I think that we have the other side of the coin, which is that, like I had, you have so much depression that you put yourself through a lot of pressure so that you forget all your problems. You go through another type of hell. It is a place where I don't like people to be. I wouldn't like myself being there again, but it is a place where you feel angry. You feel a day that you don't do exercise, you feel angry with yourself. You're not in peace. You are always trying to do more, and you're always anxious. It is, I think it's the opposite of being in a bed with depression. It's being anxious all the time. And when you are doing exercise, you're not enjoying what you're doing. You are anxious to sweat. You're anxious to burn calories. You're anxious to burn everything that you have eaten. And
It is very interesting what you say, Carla, because when I was in my worst years, hell, through depression, the same thing happened to me. I wasn't a young at a young age like you did. I was already, I don't know, 30 or something, and I was the same thing. I was the same way. I mean, I was depressed. I was not sleeping at night, but I was working out so much every day. I was running like 10 miles every day, and I was doing a lot of exercise because I wanted to get tired. I wanted to sweat. And it is incredible how and you are totally correct. Some people want to stay in bed, and some people want to do a lot of things. Did your family know that you were depressed when you were a little kid?
No, I think my mom was very focused in bringing the food on the table. Because she separated, and I think that she was working like crazy from 7 to 7, and I had a brother who was a little bit 2 years older than I am, and well, maybe for him it was like watching his crazy sister go do everything like, what's wrong with her? But he didn't realize that. And my grandmother had a thing with the food. since when she was a kid, she lost her sister of anemia.
Anemia.
Anemia. So she had to see you eating. She had an excellent food. She was a great cook. But she had to see that you finish everything that she poured on your plate. So that was a double trauma for me because I didn't get to choose what I eat. I had to finish everything in my plate, which was a lot because she served big portions. But I wanted to be thin. So it was a cycle that never ended. Never.
It was a lot of pressure on a little kid. And that is very, very Mexican, right? Where you have to eat everything that you have on your plate. And
Yes.
the you don't get up until you finish everything on your plate.
Everything, including three time dishes and the dessert and everything. You have to finish up everything because if not, you're not being polite. You're not being a good kid.
Yeah.
So yes, it was very, very difficult for me, a very difficult age.
So you were doing a lot of exercise since you were a little kid growing up, and then you became someone who is working out, swimming, cycling, and competing. And did all this working out improve your mental health throughout the years?
No, I think that what really, really helped me, because I continue with this conduct like for years, but years, like 10, 20 years. I even when I was pregnant, I was very worried about gaining more than 10 kilos with every pregnancy. So even then I was on a diet. I went through all the diets, but even pregnant, I was on a diet. So I think I really started enjoying life and enjoying exercise and what I do now when I started like taking care of my mind, taking care of my taking a conscious break and saying, okay, I have to do something because I'm always anxious, no? Always anxious. So I met this psychologist, she's Ana Maria, and she got me through a study, which is The 40 Doors of Jose Maria Doria. It's a very great book. And we started reading it. Plus, it was a year of reading the book and also thinking and doing homeworks about that book, but also meditating every day, every single day. And I think that that gave me the peace that I have always have been dreaming about. And when you start listening to your mind, listening to your brain, and listening to what you really want and what you really deserve, and you start being more aware of your present and being more spiritual, your problems cease. They cease for a little bit. They might be present and sometimes they come up again in your head, but with these tools, because they are tools, you increase your way of connecting with life, with human beings, with everything that is surrounding you, and you start enjoying the way that you are. Today, I do exercise, first of all, because it has provided me health. No, that's the most important thing. Yes, also it provides me with a lot of good things for my health, but it also gives me like this goals. No, I set my mind on certain goals, and I work every day for those goals. But I enjoy the way. I enjoy all the way to get to those goals. No, for instance, sometimes my goals are being like the best triathlete in my age group, in a national competition. And as soon as I obtain that, I set myself a higher goal. Okay, I say, okay, I want to go to a world triathlon championship, and I want to be in the first, let's say, 20. No, I already accomplished that the last year. And next year, well, in the next 5 years, I want to set myself in the first 10, in the first top 10. And that way, I don't live in the future, but I set myself a path that I follow in order to have joy, to have to make my life more meaningful. And I think that we are all we have like this big pizza, and that we are we have a lot of things to accomplish. Well, not to accomplish, but to be good for educate. Well, in life, we have to set a big part for our family, and then set a big part of ourselves for educating ourselves. And another big part is the social part, and that we don't have to descuidar any of these parts, no? That we have to work on each and every one of the slices of our pizzas so that we can make our lives more plenty.
So you are doing a lot of meditation, and it sounds like you are doing a lot of mindfulness to be in the present, live in the present without worrying about the past and planning your future, but not being so much obsessed about the future.
Yes. I was reading a book of Eckhart Tolle, and he was saying precisely that our human brain consumes like 80% of our time in the press, in the past or in the future. And we are always so depressed about things that we did in the past or that passed already, or very anxious about things that are going to happen, but that we spend so few time in the present. And that the best thing about life, well, it's the present, and how we spend that few percent of our energy right now. For example, our mind can be in the future and in the past, while you are listening to me. And it would be great if you always set your mind in present, no? But this is very difficult, because it explains that during the evolution of the human beings, the human being is the only animal who is set to do that. If you ask an eagle, what are you going to do tomorrow? The eagle cannot answer you what she's going to do tomorrow, no? It would be like, no, I won't.
I'm just thinking about eating tonight.
That's right. She's thinking about right now, hungry, go and catch some animal. No, yeah. That's it. And we started, well, our human brain got so adapted to plan things ahead because we had to plan things ahead for surviving, and also remember things from the past to learn about maybe our mistakes, and during the hunting and during the seasons and for the growing the corpse and everything, that we started going from back to the future and to the past and everything, that our mind loves to do that. Our mind is eager to do that. Always being traveling in time, you know, like this time traveler, or going to the past or going to the future.
Yeah, our mind is always playing tricks on us, and always those intrusive thoughts that are coming in, and we start wondering, what are you doing here? I don't want you here. Go away. Right?
Yes, that's right.
And well, mindfulness is an excellent way to do that, right? Breathing in the present,
yes, being
because
here.
there is something that is very true. You cannot breathe in the past, you cannot breathe in the future. You breathe in the present,
in the moment that we are speaking. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
And there is no human being who can breathe in the past or in the future. It has to be here, right now.
That's right. And the other thing that is not good for our mind is the desire, that we're always desiring to have something more, to be with someone else, to be someone else, or the desire. If we could get rid of desire, we would be people who are illuminated. That is almost impossible. We always desire something, you know? So it's very hard to do that.
Yeah, we are always human beings have the tendency to complain about things that we don't have instead of being grateful for what we have. And yeah, we have the tendency to do that, to always be complaining. Carla, it seems like you have found a mental health throughout the years, through exercise, mindfulness, several things. Do you think you have accomplished that now, that you are mentally in peace with yourself?
I think I do. It is difficult because we grew up in an Occidental society, and the Occidental society, as you said, is always a consumer society. And we look at a magazine and we want to weigh 10 kilos less, and we look at the size 00 and we want to be that size, etc. I think we should become more an oriental type of society, because yes, as soon as you start reading these authors and watching how your mind works, reading things like the monk who sell his Ferrari or something, I think it's called like that. You start asking yourself, I don't need all these things, no? I need mental peace and mental health. And when you start every morning, for example, with a meditation, meditating in silence gives you like the mental state that you need to see what is taking away your peace. in maybe the day after, or what is taking away that peace in your heart? And you start analyzing really, really what you need and what you and what you start treasuring is not are not the things, no? You start treasuring people, you start treasuring your friends, you start treasuring the time that you spent with your family, and you start treasuring all the things that you might not be aware that you had, and that they do not cost anything. The free things are the ones that are sometimes of the most value.
Yeah, they are free. Yeah, and they are the best. Very recently, you had an accident, and you were very depressed because of that accident that you had. How did you come out of that depression?
Yes, last November, I fell from my bike. I was biking with a group of people, and I was very tired, but I continued, you know, and I, because I'm always like that, that I know I have to win and I have to, I was always like that. So that took me to the ground, literally. They had to do me a plastic surgery here in the eye, and then my shoulder dislocated one of the tendons of the shoulder. So I had to stop everything that I was doing, everything that I was competing for, everything stopped. I felt in that moment that my life had finished. My life as I knew my life, right, until that day. And I sat here in the park in front of the house, and I cried. I cried every time I could, because I couldn't move my shoulder even after the surgery. And I couldn't, I didn't know if I was going to do the same that I used to do. And then that is what I, when I realized that, well, patience is something that we don't have as human beings. We are very impatient. We want the surgery today, and tomorrow I am moving my shoulder. And that doesn't happen in reality. And I started redefining myself. So I said, no, Carla, you are not defined by your exercise. You are not defined by triathlon. You are way more than that. You have to be grateful because you have the other three extremities and they work fine. You have your mind. You have a lot of things that you have to be grateful about. And even if you cannot move like you used to move, you are not that. So this changed a lot my attitude. You turn yourself more humble, and you start appreciating other things that you didn't used to. And then, well, I took a lot of therapy, therapy of the shoulder, and self-therapy of my mind, and reconnecting with my body. Everything hurt, because I was open, all my arm was open, and it was very, very painful. And I lived in pain for about 1 month or two. And I realized that, well, there are people who live in pain all their life, no? And I started being grateful, like even when I from the time I fell and on, and yes, it was very difficult to find out that that kind of resilience that one has, no? It's very difficult to find it.
Yeah, but you came out of that mentally strong and physically strong, and now you are ready to compete again, right?
Yes, and a lot of things happen also in that period of time. You realize who is with you, no? Who are the people who are always there for you? In this case, my mom, my daughters, my friends who were here, no matter what. They were here for me, and one of my daughters returned because she was living already by herself, and she came back and be with me, you know? And she said, "I'm going to stay with you, mom, until you can drive." And I said, "What if I cannot drive ever?" And she said, I'll be here with you." So those things are very, very great. And once I started with my movements again and recovering that, it was really, really long process and hours, Carlos, of therapy. I mean, the doctor left me exercises, which took me like 2 hours a day. And the therapy took me 2 hours a day, plus my exercise, 6 hours a day, were like everything I was doing was, I thought everything I'm doing is for my shoulder, and my work and everything also, I had to do it. So I was spending 6 hours a day in therapy. But within 3 months or so, I was back on the, well, moving all the body with pain, with pain. And I thought, when is this going to stop? When is the pain going to stop?
Well, it seems like you had a lot of support, right, from family, friends, and that was very helpful for you to somehow deal with this pain, physical and mental pain, and come out of all that problem, all those problems that you had with your shoulder.
Yes, I have very good friends. Also, I want to say hello to Aide, who is there. And she's one of my friends in the cycling business. And, well, they are great. They aren't pushing me back to ride on a group, because I right now I'm I continue being scared of riding in group. And the last competition I went, my pulse didn't go below 180, and it was fear. I never managed those pulses, but I was afraid to be back on a bicycle and competing on a bicycle. This was 2 weeks ago. And well, I had a good result. I again got the first place, but I didn't think I was going to be able to do that, because I was so afraid of being by back in the bike. So right now they are being very patient with me. I told them that I didn't want to go back to riding on the group again, and that I want to be just by myself for a while until I get
Yeah.
there to that point. Yes.
Well, I think you are doing great. If you are already cycling and you are working out, I think that's great. Carla, As you know, this is a podcast to talk about mental health conditions and the hell that sometimes we go through with all these conditions. What would you say to people going through these situations? How to deal with certain conditions?
Well, I have to say three words to them, and that would be this will pass. Okay. It is a fable of a king who one day was passing through a very gray era, and his kingdom was falling down, and a wise man gave him a ring, and inside the ring it had the inscription, "This will pass," or "This will also pass." So the king read the inscription and he might not understand it in that moment, but after several months, he began to win several wars and he began to gain control over the kingdom that he had lost. So one day he's in a very big party and having this great banquet with all the food and all the drinks and everything. And suddenly the wise man comes back to him and says, "Okay, please read your ring." And he reads the ring and he says, "This will also pass." And the king realized that we cannot be always happy and partying, no? And we cannot be always depressed and very sad. Life is has many colors, and we have to experiment. I would tell your audience who has this maybe depressions that this will pass, no? Sometimes you are very depressed because some situation, something is going on wrong with maybe your work, your family, your friends, something in the social media. It can be so many things that we are depressed for, and you have to know that they are going to pass. You cannot, life is not so cruel to give you always hard time. Yes, yeah, sometimes we get to go through hard time, but this means that it's going to shine, no? Maybe the next day, but the thunder will pass and it's going to be shiny, maybe in a new future. So, well, you have to take everything with a lot of patience, so that you know that everything is going to pass, even the happiness or even the bad times, that we have to, well, appreciate every time, every moment that we are living.
Thank you very much for that, and I'm sure many people will consider that everything not nothing is forever. Nothing is forever. And Carla, thank you very much for being with us in this episode tonight. It's been a wonderful conversation, and as you know, we are trying to create awareness about mental health conditions to stop the stigma about this, and we want people to talk about what's going on in their lives. They are not alone. There are many of us going through hell with mental health conditions. And please share with all your friends, with everyone, our podcast, and if there's anyone who might be interested in being part of one of the episodes, please let them know that they can get in touch with me.
Sure, Carlos. I want to thank you for inviting me to your program, and I would like to tell you that to wish you all the success in this program, which is helping a lot of people. I have heard several of them, and they talk about different topics because it is very hard to open up, no? Maybe I hadn't exposed my problem of the disorder in the way that I ate with anyone in years, no? So sharing it today with you made me realize that maybe I can help other people that have the same problem, and that I am also there for them, because we are a society and we have to help each other. So
yeah.
My Instagram is Carla Urdapilleta. Also, if sometime I can help one of your people in the audience, I would be glad to help them also. And thank you, Carlos, for inviting me here.
Thank you very much, Carla, and thank you very much for sharing your story. And I feel flattered that this is the first time you talk about these issues in public. Thank you.
Yes. No, thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Carlos. I didn't know that I was going to talk about this, so it was great. It was great that it was like fluid and very natural, because I had no idea.
It feels great, right, to talk about these things.
Yes, you get rid of a weight.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Carla.
Thank you, Carlos. Have a great, great day.
Thank you, too.